Morning, brethren. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. Now, this is the historical account of Ruth and Boaz. These are the great grandparents of David, king of Israel. But we've been seeing how their experience, this story is actually an allegory that's revealing to us wonderful, beautiful, great spiritual truths that are the experience of every believer. It's the experience of grace, and we see how much our Lord and Savior loves his people and what he's done to bring her to himself by redeeming her with his own precious blood. So today we're going to look at just two points that are raised here in this third chapter. And the first one, we see Naomi's wise counsel to Ruth. We'll look at Naomi's counsel to Ruth, and then we'll see Ruth's childlike obedience. She's obedient to the counsel that she receives. And I've titled this message, The Obedience of Faith. The Obedience of Faith. So last week we were seeing how that Naomi is a picture of the Holy Ghost. She was a picture of the Holy Ghost, where we saw her confirming to Ruth and affirming the things that Boaz said to Ruth. Boaz gave Ruth counsel, saying, don't go into any other field. You stay right here in my fields, and you'll know they're my fields because you'll be following closely along with my servants, with my reapers and the handmaidens. You stay close by them. And Naomi affirmed Boaz's words. She confirmed what Ruth had heard from Boaz, and she said all the same thing. She said, oh, it's good. It's good that you stay there in those fields and that you hug up on those handmaids. You stay by his handmaidens and don't go anywhere else. You heed his word. And then we saw Ruth obeyed the word. She listened. She received that word and she believed the word, and she did exactly what was said to her. And then, as another picture of the Holy Spirit, right? Because the Holy Spirit affirms and confirms to us, revealing the word of Christ to us. Revealing Christ to us. And the Holy Spirit also dwells with the people. And we read at the end of chapter 2 where Ruth dwelt with her mother-in-law until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He dwells with the people of God. And the Holy Spirit remains in the earth while the church is in the earth. The Holy Spirit dwells with the people of God, ever teaching us and ever causing us to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He dwells with us. So this chapter here begins with Naomi, and Naomi counsels Ruth here in verse 1. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Ruth, we know, was troubled. She had difficulties. She was a widow, and she was yet laboring and struggling as a result of her husband's sin and death. She was married to Mahlon, and we saw how Elimelech, the father of Mahlon, who's a picture of Adam, Mahlon sinned. He left the people of God. He left Israel, and he went down into Moab thinking it would be better there, but he separated himself from the gospel. He departed out of that land, and he was troubled. He came into sin, and he died there in Moab. And then his sons, the fruit between he and Naomi, rather than their fruit, their sons saying, Mom, we shouldn't have come here. Let's go back to Israel. Let's go back where the gospel's preached. Let's go where the Lord is giving his people bread. They didn't do that. They also sinned. They continued in the sin, and they died. And it was the Lord's grace that brought word to Naomi that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And so here's Ruth, who believes what she has heard. And she's clinging to her mother-in-law, and the true and living God is her God. And the people of God are her people now. And she's forsaken all, left all to follow Naomi here into Israel. But she's laboring. She's laboring as a result of the sin and the death of her husband. And there's a spiritual picture in that, where she's laboring for bread, she's laboring for her life. That's what we do by nature. We're all impacted and affected by the sin of Adam and our own sin. And we labor and struggle for bread, for truth, to know the true and living God, and to labor for life, and yet by this flesh, we come up short. We come up short of the glory of God. And if we do not believe the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall perish in our sins. And so she has difficulties. She's struggling to live, to survive. But Naomi, she bears witness to Ruth. She wants to find rest for Ruth, that it may be well with her. Because if she's redeemed by Boaz, she'll know what rest is. She'll have bread and life abundantly. Abundantly. And so Naomi's bearing a good witness to her. And what witness does she speak of? Who does she speak of? Boaz. She bears witness of Boaz, pointing out to her, making her to know, this is the one who is able to redeem you. So she points her to Boaz, and she confirms and affirms to her, he's the one that's able to redeem you. Now, some say here that Naomi is a type of the church, bearing witness to the children of God. And that's also a good picture. Because whether Naomi is a type of the Holy Ghost here or a type of the church of God, they speak with one voice. Our voices are both singing the same melody of grace. We're aligned and united. We preach, we declare the Lord Jesus Christ. You know if the Spirit of God is speaking to you, if he's pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ for all your salvation. He doesn't speak of himself, he speaks of Christ, the Savior of sinners, the Redeemer of his people. That's who the Spirit speaks of, and that's who the church speaks of. We don't speak of man, we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And so Naomi here bears a good witness. She points out three things, three important things to Ruth. She declares to him, Boaz, she declares to him where she can find Boaz, and she declares what he is able to do for her. She preaches those three things to Ruth. Look at verse 2. And now, is not Boaz of our kindred? She's directing her heart to Boaz, and she's saying, he's of our kindred, meaning he's able to redeem us. As I've told you before, he's a near kinsman. He's able to redeem us, or to redeem you, Ruth. And she knew where Ruth can find him. She tells him where Ruth can find him. She says, now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. And so we that believe Christ, we bear witness of him. We tell sinners who he is, what he's able to do. He's able to redeem and cleanse you from all your sin. And we tell them where they will find him, under the preaching of the gospel. We point men and women, needy sinners, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We tell them what he's able to do and where they can find them. And so Having borne witness of Boaz to Ruth, she then counsels her, saying in verses 3 and 4, "Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in, and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." Now, Boaz, the power to redeem Ruth was in Boaz's hand. And Boaz would decide whether or not he was going to redeem Ruth or not. Boaz would decide whether he would redeem Ruth or not. He would decide whether he was going to fulfill the role as the redeemer. But Ruth was counseled by Naomi, telling her, "Do you want him to redeem you? Let him know. Go to him. Flee to him. Find him. Seek him. Go out to him and let him know that you need his redemption and that you want him to redeem you. You need this. You're helpless without him." And so that's what Ruth did. She went, being left to herself. She was destitute. She was poor. She was without hope. She was forsaken. But Boaz could deliver her from all of that. And he could give her bread and life and abundance. And so she went out to seek him, now knowing where she could find him. But doing so, she would go very carefully, as one not even deserving of his notice. She went carefully, as one who wasn't worthy of him even noticing her or giving her thought or being kind to her. That's how she came. And so, like Ruth, we come seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Redeemer. His blood is precious. He's the salvation of all his people. And they're needy sinners. They need him. They need his salvation. They need his life. They need what only he can give to the people of God. And Christ decides whether or not he will redeem you. Christ decides whether or not he will receive you. And that's the picture. Man likes to speak a lot of us receiving Christ. And we do, in faith, we receive Christ. But that's only the result of Christ receiving us. And he makes it known in our hearts. And we come to him, begging him, crying out to him, because we come as sinners, knowing, "Lord, will you have mercy on me? Will you save me?" And we come as needy beggars, asking him to receive us, to have mercy on us, to be gracious to us, to wash us in his blood. And so he decides. That's the important question. Will he receive me? Will he receive me? Will he wash me in his blood? And so Jesus Christ is the name that God has given to us under heaven, all the earth, whereby we must be saved. If we're going to be saved, it's through and by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. There is no other salvation. There is no other salvation that God has given. It's in Christ himself. And so we come to him as needy beggars, not saving ourselves, not having something to boast in, not something to bring to him and say, "All right, now will you have mercy on me? Look what I did." No. Smack that out of your hand. That's not received of the Lord. Christ receives sinners who are poor and bankrupt and have nothing to offer him, nothing to give to him, who come needing grace, grace. And that's how we come to our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to him as unworthy sinners. "Make not thyself known unto the man," was Naomi's counsel. When a sinner comes to Christ, when a needy sinner comes to Christ, They don't come in arrogance. We don't come boasting and bragging about what we've done for the Lord. We come as needy sinners. We come as needing His grace because we got nothing. We are nothing. We need Him to be gracious and merciful to us. And where do we go to find Him? Well, we go to His house of worship. We go where the Lord says that I'll meet with my people. We gather together. We come here gathering together with brethren of like mind. Brethren who are needy sinners like us. Who need the grace and the mercy of God just like we do. And we come to worship our God. And we come to hear of Him. We come to hear Christ preached. Because He alone satisfies the weary soul. He alone gives strength to His people who are weak and burdened and weary and poor and have nothing in themselves, nothing in this flesh. He tells us that where two or three are gathered, I'm there in the midst of them. Christ enters the house and blesses the house just like we saw Boaz do in the beginning of chapter 2. I think it was verse 4. He came in and declared the Lord's blessing on the house. And the people blessed His name. They blessed Him. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:21 that after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Brethren, we sit there quiet, in that pew, having nothing of ourselves, and through the preaching of the word, through the lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ, He enters in and blesses the word to your heart and comforts you and gives you rest and peace and assurance of Him. That foolish act, this foolish act of preaching, the Lord is able to take it and is pleased to take it and bless it to the hearts of His people. And to reveal in your heart's faith, looking to Christ alone. So we come where the Lord may be found. We come to the Lord, we come to the person of Jesus Christ, and we come to where He may be found, that we may hear of Him and rejoice in Him. And Naomi said, when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. Well, this has to do with the promises of our God in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the place where He lies down because that's where our God meets with His people. He meets with His people in the mediator between God and men, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, whom God has appointed to be the salvation, the one in whom He will receive His people. Because Christ makes us righteous by His blood. Christ has put away our sin. He's clothed us with His righteousness. We come in the fragrance, the sweet, savory fragrance of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, whom the Father loves and whom He's appointed to come to Him in. And we're received by God through Christ. And so we come to Him, and this spiritual picture here of Ruth, where she goes in and she lays herself down, resting at His feet, right? Boaz, when did he lay down? It was after he finished eating and drinking, meaning he finished the labor. He finished the work that he came to do. He was there in the threshing floor, threshing the barley, and that's what he came to do. Ruth went there, and she laid him down where he had rested from his labors. And she lay at his feet under his covering, and it pictured her hope in him. That was a bold thing for her to do. She came as a needy beggar. It shows that she had no other options. She had nothing to save her. She had nothing that would recommend her to God. But that was bold for her to go there to the threshing floor as a woman, probably, I guess, the only woman there, based on what Boaz said. Let it not be known that a woman was here, but she ventured entirely on Boaz. She cast herself completely to Boaz's care, asking for him to redeem her in the hopes that he'd be willing to redeem her. He was able, but would he be willing to redeem her? And so that's how we, as needy sinners, come to Christ. We come venturing wholly upon Christ, having no other options, no other righteousness to fall back on, nothing else that might help us with God. Christ and Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He alone is the way to the Father. And he alone reveals the Father to his people. And so we come to him, seeking him to cover us with his blood. We come to him at his feet, meaning we come to him begging him for mercy, for forgiveness, that we may have rest for our souls and know the true and living God. And we see a picture of this in believers' baptism. Believers are baptized. We come to Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. Turn over to Romans 6. Go to Romans 6. We see this pictured, this death, burial, and resurrection pictured in our baptism into Christ. Romans 6, let's pick up in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, it's believers. Believers are baptized. Believers are baptized into the death, believing that Christ is the Savior and that we died in him. When he was crucified, we were crucified. Right? Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, verse 4, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That's what our baptism pictures. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so Christ, when he finished the labors, he gave up the ghost. He cried, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost, and his dead body was taken down and laid in the tomb. He lay there at rest from all his labors. And so we go to him in faith, baptized into his death, covered with his blood, knowing this, that we shall be like him in his resurrection, that we too shall be raised from the dead by him. I like what the Hebrew writer said, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Let us go to him. Let us go to him. All right, now we take a look at the childlike obedience, the obedience of faith here. So in response to Naomi's faithful witness to Ruth, she hears what Naomi says, and like a child, she receives it and believes the word. She believes the testimony that God has given concerning Christ. She believes the testimony concerning Boaz here in this text here. Verse 5, and Ruth said unto Naomi, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. That's faith. And faith is the gift of God. And faith, which God gives, believes God. Faith believes the testimony of God. And faith worked in the children of God is obedient unto the call of God, making known to us that we're sinners, that we cannot save ourselves, that there is no other salvation. This one, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Christ sent of God, whom God sent in the flesh, his own Son, and spared him not, that he should die in our place and put away our sins and make us accepted by God. And so faith is obedient unto the calling of God, which is made effectual in our hearts. He tells us in his word, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Psalm 110, verse 3. Turn over to 1 Peter 1. Let's look at 1 Peter 1, and this speaks of our obedience. And pick up in verse 18. 1 Peter 1:18. Peter says in verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. And that's what the works and the counsel of man by his flesh, the fleshly religion, the idolatry of man, the salvation he speaks of is wrought by our own hands, by fleshly things, by carnal things such as silver and gold, traditions of man. But, verse 19, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls, look at this, in obeying the truth. And how do we obey the truth? By the flesh? No. No, by the Spirit. As he says, in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. And that's how we come. Our hearts are turned. We have a new heart, a heart given to us by God, because we're born again. We're new creatures, created by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his seed, to know him, to know the true and living God, to receive him, to believe him, to trust him, to come to him for all our salvation. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, not of Adam's works, not of Adam's seed, not of this flesh, but of incorruptible seed, the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so our God creates obedience in our hearts so that we go to him. We hear him and we believe, yeah, he is the one who is salvation. And we seek him. We come hearing the word of God, hoping to hear the voice of the Son of God. Bless me. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. I'm a sinner. I'm the sinner, the chief of sinners, the worst of sinners. Lord, have mercy on me. Don't pass me by and forget about me. Lord, have mercy on me. And so children of God, they don't continue on in unbelief. It pleases the Lord, having put away our sins, to reveal to us what he's done. Right? He makes it known that he's the Redeemer, and he brings us to him in the obedience of faith, that we may know what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're made disciples of Christ. We walk now by faith in him, not looking at ourselves and being boasting and being amazed by what we can do. We walk in faith because we're sinners, saved by grace, ever in need of him and his mercy. You know, believers are actually capable of every sin that an unbeliever is capable of. The horrific things that unbelievers do, a believer is capable of doing that as well in the flesh. That's not our hope, that we have changed ourselves and turned a new leaf. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're walking by faith, ever looking to him. We see in ourselves every reason why the Lord shouldn't be merciful to us. Right? When Ruth back there in chapter 2 when she was asking him, why are you so merciful to me? And he said, well, it's been declared to me, everything that you've done. And the picture there is that Ruth sees every reason why Boaz shouldn't be kind to her. All she could see is why this man shouldn't have mercy on me and speak kindly to me and be gracious to me. And Boaz speaks only seeing the grace of God worked in Ruth's heart. And that's how our God sees us. We see ourselves as every reason why God shouldn't be merciful and gracious to us. And our God sees every reason why he is gracious to us and will be gracious to us and is happy to be gracious to us because of the work of grace worked in our hearts by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's pleased with the blood of our Savior. And so we see sin and he sees faith. He sees the work of his Son. He smells the sweet savor of Jesus Christ. And so there's one sin that we can't do, and that's apostatize from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one sin that the Spirit keeps us from turning from the Lord Jesus Christ, because the new man can't not believe. We can't turn from Christ. All the new man can do is believe the Lord Jesus Christ and hope in him. That's what John was saying in 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. The new man can only believe the Lord Jesus Christ. He has no other hope than him. So in this flesh, we could do every sin that an unbeliever can do. But the Lord keeps his people ever looking to Christ, ever hoping in him and confessing him. So our Lord, he promised his people in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We that are covered in the blood of Christ are free from that body of sin in which Adam's seed has part in. We have no part in that. We're in the inheritance of Christ. We're in Christ's body, and we have eternal life in him. Now, although Ruth was an adult woman, she heard the wise counsel of Naomi, and she obeyed her witness with childlike faith. She obeyed and did exactly what Naomi said. Look at Ruth 3, verse 6 and 7. And Ruth went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, right? He saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. He was pleased. His heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And brethren, like Christ, you that are needy sinners, that's how we come to Christ. We come to him in the obedience of faith, which he works in our hearts. Amen.